At the corners of Broadway and 42nd Street, four towering new office buildings made of gleaming polished granite instead of porno movie houses. At 8th Avenue and 42nd, a massive new luxury hotel and a merchandise mart to replace the mugging, drug selling, and male hustling that dominates the corner. And in between, no more violent movies, no more peep shows, no more derelicts or kids high on angel dust. The theaters will be renovated, new shops built, the subway stations redesigned, a complete facelift for one of the most dangerous and depressing blocks in all of New York.
So that in 5 years, when one walks from Broadway and 42nd Street to 42nd Street and 8th Avenue, one will be in a totally new environment.
Veronica Hackett is spokeswoman for Park Tower Realty, one of the developers of the project. Park Tower will spend nearly $1 billion putting up the four office towers. Other developers will do the rest. It's all private financing, and it will be one of the largest projects of its kind in American history. Mayor Ed Koch is for the project. New York's Governor Mario Cuomo is a backer. All the money is in place. But there are also critics, many of them, with concerns from light in Times Square to the future of nearby residential neighborhoods. And their criticisms will inevitably affect the shape of things to come.
We are concerned about losing Times Square as we know it, as a lively entrance to the theater district.
Brendan Gill is theater critic for the New Yorker magazine and chairman of the New York Landmarks Conservancy. Gill was speaking at a recent public hearing on the project.
We have seen no evidence either in the draft environmental impact statement or elsewhere that the addition of 4 million square feet of conventionally dreary office space is necessary to achieve the stated goals of the project. On the contrary, it will drastically affect the character of the area, not for the better, but for the worse.
One of the most common criticisms of the proposed buildings is that their design makes no real provision for dazzling neon signs, the greatest single characteristic of Times Square throughout this century, what gave the area its nickname, the Great White Way. And this criticism has taken hold, enough so that William Stern, chairman of New York's Urban Development Corporation, the driving force behind the project, now says the buildings are undergoing redesign so that they will be sure to bring back the Great White Way.
I think we will be showing the public a plan that has plenty of signage, plenty of lights, and plenty of glitter. So glitter is in, and even if glitter wasn't in, we want to see glitter. The governor wants to see glitter on 42nd Street. The mayor, everybody wants to see the Great White Way.
The four skyscrapers that may come to dominate the square in the future have been designed by two of this country's most esteemed architects, John Berge and Philip Johnson. But many have charged that their plans are meant to make Times Square into a new 6th Avenue, a canyon of clean and well-policed office towers, but not an area that draws large crowds of people. The initial criticism of the buildings was so strong that at a recent public forum, Johnson himself revealed changes in his original plans.
You've got to have a place where people are, but that's on the ground level. That's the the aim and thrust of our whole architectural scheme in this great new development is the ground floor. Every 10 feet will be a different shop. Every 10 feet will be a different awning. There'll be different colored lights. There'll be advertisements above.
But Fred Kent, who heads an organization of urban planners called the Project for Public Spaces, believes the project's soaring columns and entrance arches may attract prosperous corporate tenants, but they will discourage the crowds and street life that is desirable in Times Square.
People are not going to feel comfortable using that area. The way the columns are set up and the retail is really suppressed into the building, it's not going to have a strong relationship with the street.
And Kent has another worry about the project, and this is a question that many are grappling with. The possibility that the project will simply drive the illegal street activities that now so dominate 42nd Street into the theater district. That was the major concern of actress Colleen Dewhurst, who is chairman of a group called Save the Theaters, when she spoke at the hearings on the project.
But if this project succeeds in doing its job, there will be a great many pushers, muggers, prostitutes, and porno shops looking for a home. It must not be in the theater district. And if they are as tough to move as you say, sooner keep them where they are than outside the Ethel Barrymore, Ambassador, Biltmore, or Eugene O'Neill theaters.
The project's developers believe that the theater district will not suffer an invasion of street crime. And Carl Weisbrod, who heads a special office of the mayor in Midtown Manhattan and who welcomes the redevelopment of 42nd Street, makes a strong argument that another tenderloin zone will not appear nearby. 42nd Street, Weisbrod argues, is special. No other block attracts so many people yet generates so little neighborhood commitment and identity.
There hasn't been the same on 42nd Street for decades now, the same proprietary interest that Clinton has, that the theater district has, that the garment district has, or that the office center of the city has.
Weisbrod believes that the hustlers of 42nd Street will simply disperse, driven to other parts of the city, to be sure, but driven randomly and unlikely to congregate again in one particular block. But local politicians like State Assemblyman Richard Gottfried oppose the project because they fear an invasion of another sort in Clinton, the residential neighborhood just west of Times Square.
I just don't think the Clinton community can coexist with this plan. If this plan goes forward, Clinton will become incredibly valuable real estate. And that's all very well, except that there are about 30,000 people already living there who won't be able to afford that kind of housing and who will be forced out, often by thugs and arson and whatnot, to make room for that kind of so-called rehabilitation, renovation, new construction.
Whenever politicians and builders want to change New York, scores of voices come together to pick at the schemes, often to try to prevent them. In its densely packed urban life, New York is a contentious, often ill-mannered, but always vital community. None of the critics of the Times Square project want to maintain 42nd Street as it is. The criticisms have been voiced largely with an awareness of Times Square's history and in order to improve the project. But critics like Fred Kent aren't optimistic that the developers will listen enough. In Times Square, Kent pointed out other recently built office buildings. They are inward-looking structures meant to draw their tenants in and shut out the world outside. They have created hundreds of feet of blank walls in the area's side streets that have become new havens for more hustling and crime. Kent's concern is that the Times Square project may create even more empty plazas and unpeopled alcoves, because he believes this inward-looking ethic still predominates among New York's urban planners.
I think they just look at the bad, and they think about the undesirables that are in Times Square, and then that just permeates their thinking so that they just enclose everything and try to get people off the street. That philosophy still pervades our design throughout the country. And when it tries to invade a place that is so intensely urban and does it, you just see the whole heart of what is the most urban part of New York City begin to be fragmented and gradually destroyed.
The Times Square redevelopment project is well on its way through the city's complex approval process. State and city agencies are expected to pass on it this summer and fall. Groundbreaking won't start until 1986, and the project should be completed by 1992. This is Mike Schuster in New York.